It's good to see everyone this morning and to have the opportunity of sharing the Word of God, which I'm going to do from the second letter of Peter in chapter 3. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And I'm going to read these words, and as I read them, although Peter wrote the letter, God's Spirit was moving him to write these words. And really, they are God himself who is writing these things to us. So take it as the Lord's word speaking to you this morning. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Verse 17, sorry. You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things ahead of time, beware lest you also, being led away from the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. So these are the closing remarks of Peter in his second letter, and it's easy just to overlook these things and just treat them as closing remarks. But they're much more than that. And I just want to go through some thoughts, especially from verse 18. Those who will know that Peter's second letter is dealing a lot with false teaching and listening to other voices. As Andrew White mentioned last week, there's a possibility of hearing so many different voices at this time. And what God is saying to us is he wants us to hear his voice, his word alone, and be led by it. In verse 17, he talks about being led astray, cast adrift, or loosed from our moorings, and falling from a firm support, excuse me, into confusion or uncertainty. When we believe on Christ, he ties us to himself and he puts us onto a solid rock. And with so much that's happening in the world today, he doesn't want those ties to be loosened, and he doesn't want us to fall from that solid rock. He wants to keep us there always. And so he gives these final words at the end of his letter. First of all, he gives the warnings, which we see in verse 17. That's the sort of negative aspect of it. But then he gives us the positive aspect, the instruction, which we find in verse 18. So, and there's four aspects of this, of verse 18. I just want to draw to your attention, which is Peter's and the Lord's final word at the end of all that he said in his second letter. The first aspect, the first thing I want to draw our attention to, is growth. He says that we should grow. Now this is applicable to all ages, whether you're young or old, somewhere in between. God wants us to grow, not just physically. Some of us have stopped physically growing a long time ago. But he does want us to grow spiritually. All of us should grow. Growth is a sign of life. It's not, when we receive truth, it's not some sort of museum piece that we are supposed to preserve. But we are to use truth to help us to grow, to nurture our lives so that they develop and become more like his son. We are to grow. So the second thing I want us to think about is, what do we grow in? There are two things here that he wants us to grow in. The first is grace, and after that is knowledge. So the first thing he wants us to grow in is grace. He says, grow in grace. Grace is a wonderful thing. And grace, or rather knowledge, without grace is just mere dead information. But God wants us to grow in grace, which affects our whole character and the way we live and behave and conduct ourselves in this present time. Grace is something that we are to grow in, no matter how much we know. We may think we know an awful lot, but grace is something that we can continue to always grow in. And what an opportunity it is now that we can grow in his wonderful, marvelous, extensive and never-ending grace. It is something that we can never outgrow. We can display his kindness, his peace, his joy, his patience, his love. These are all aspects of his grace, and there is no end to it. He wants us to grow and grow and grow in all his grace. Grace establishes us, and when it is exhibited, it is the most attractive of things. You think back to Jesus when he was a boy. He was born of the Spirit, and as he grew up in his home, it says that the grace of God was upon him. That's in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. The Lord Jesus Christ grew in grace, and I'm sure that everyone around him, neighbours, friends, family, boys and girls down the street, older people at the other end of Nazareth, they all saw him and they must have remarked among themselves that this young man, as he was then, grew in grace. We always should grow, and we can never outgrow in grace. The third aspect of verse 18, it talks about growing in grace, but also it says, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about knowledge, we're not meaning sort of sitting down and studying and memorizing and, as it were, preparing for an exam or some kind of test. It's not a knowledge about someone. For example, we know of the Queen, Prime Minister Boris Johnson, other famous people. We know about them. We can perhaps repeat a lot of facts about them, but we have no real acquaintance with them. So this knowledge is not just facts. It is a living, first-hand, personal knowledge which arises from intimate relationship with him. This is the knowledge that he wants us to grow in. Not just facts to impress others, but facts, but knowledge of being with someone. And of course, the person that we are to grow in the knowledge of is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the most important person. He is worth knowing more than any other. He came down from heaven to dwell on earth, and he came there to be with us, so that we should know him as well as him knowing us. But also notice the titles that Peter gives to the Lord, to Jesus. He calls him our Lord and our Saviour. There's a sense of ownership when he uses the word our. But he also calls him Lord and Saviour. We cannot know him as one and not the other. We must know him as both. That is, both Lord and Saviour. If we don't know him as Lord, we'll never know him as Saviour, and vice versa. He wants to be known to us as both. And of course, Lord implies a sense of surrender, yieldedness, and obedience, so that his salvation may be taken into our lives and experienced to the full. But that can only happen when he is truly Lord. So we are to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Some may say, well, how can I grow in this knowledge? How can I know more about him like this? I'm just going to give a few tips. First one is to read the Bible. It's wonderful that God has given us this book, which men have laid down their lives to translate and to make it available in our hands in this day. This book is the most important book in all the world, and it is still the bestseller throughout the world, and probably even more so now during these times. Read your Bible. Read the New Testament, especially the Gospels. That's where the life of the Lord Jesus is seen most. But you can also see him in the Old Testament. Not quite so clear. He's more concealed there, but he is there in type and figure and picture and example. All these we'll know more about Jesus as we read our Bible. Another way to grow is in prayer, worship and praise. We've done some worship and praise this morning, and that's been great. John and Lindsay have led us in prayer. Prayer is not just following the prayers of others. It's our own personal talk with God. In the Sunday school this morning, we were talking about prayer and the importance of listening to the commands of the general, the Lord Jesus Christ, which means you have to be in attention. You can't be looking elsewhere. You need to concentrate and you need to face him full on and not looking in other directions. And another thing about prayer is don't rush it. Don't just skim through a few words. Spend time. Speak to God. And while you're speaking, open your heart and ears so that he may speak to you and that we may listen to him. Another way to grow in knowledge is to turn our affections to him. He is worthy of all our love. There are so many things to love in this world, some legitimate, some very illegitimate. But the first and foremost love in our hearts is to be toward our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Another way to grow is in obedience. Walk with him every day, even as Noah did back in Genesis before he started building the ark. It says that Noah walked with God and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In these days, you can walk with God and find grace in his eyes, and you will grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The final thing I want to say from verse 18 is about glory. So first we talked about growing, second about grace, third about knowledge, and now lastly, glory. It says that to him be glory, not to ourselves, not to anything or any other person or any object. He alone is to receive the glory. So seek his glory, because all those other glories, the glories of the world, they are short-lived. They will fade and fail and soon be forgotten. But the glory of God will go on forever and ever and ever. And that's something more than worth living for. It talks about glory forever, but also for now. It's not just some future far-off thing that we look forward to. Yes, we do look forward to his return. And who knows when that will be. That may be sooner than we think. But the glory that God wants us to know is also for now. Every day we can know the glory of his presence, the glory of his grace, the glory of his love and joy and peace resting upon our shoulders and being with us every day. What a wonderful thing to live for. Everything else is just immaterial in comparison. But to live for his glory is a great and wonderful thing. So it's not just for the future, but it's also for now. Therefore, glorify him in faith and the way that we live in faith in these wonderful things, we will grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, every single day, not just during lockdown, but as we emerge from it and beyond, we can live in his wonderful glory, grace and knowledge for the rest of our lives. Hallelujah. What a great gospel we have. May we experience to it to its absolute fullness and abundance.